my sin any longer. And we've been looking at the story of Cain and Abel, which is on the picture there. And we're going to only go through three verses this morning. It's in Genesis 4, verse 6 to 8. That will be the main passage that we're focusing on. The reason we're doing this is in Genesis 3, the fall of man takes place. And so sin enters into the world. There was the perfect creation in Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 3, the fall happens. Adam and Eve eat of the fruit. Sin enters the world. And in Genesis 4, we get the first example of what this sin will now look like. It gets played out in the world with a brother murdering his brother. And so it's this graphic picture, but not only do we see sin at work in the Bible in Genesis 4 with the story, but we also see God involved. And so I think it's the perfect place for us to camp for a little while and say, Lord, help us, teach us out of the scriptures today how to deal with it, because we not only see the magnitude of sin, but we see the magnitude of a Savior stepping in to say, I want to help you actually deal with this sin and not have it as part of your life. And it might be an uncomfortable message because also, as you see in the title, today as we dig into the scriptures, there's going to be a lot about emotions. Men, that means the stuff you feel in your heart. You might have hid it away really deep, but it is there, I promise you. And in fact, this is going to teach us to have a good theology of emotions. You would not think that those things on the Bible, you think it's in the book of woman. No, no, no. Emotions are in the Bible. I'm going to show you this. And in fact, we need to understand our emotions biblically to also deal with sin. If we understand it, we will be able to deal with sin much better. So let's jump into verse 6 and just to say the previous verses that we spoke about last week. The context to this is Cain and Abel brought an offering. One was an animal meat offering and one was a grain offering. And vegan, sorry to disappoint you, God accepted the animal offering. Was that a bad joke? God accepted Abel's offering. He did not accept Cain's offering. And we get into the text where we now, and Cain is really upset by God not accepting his offering because God looked at his heart and he knew that it was not the full offering. He didn't fully give himself to the Lord. I'm going to focus especially on this first verse, but I want to read you the two verses after. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" That's an emotion. That's probably the one that men know. "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen?" Just that again. Why are you angry? God is concerned about that. He's stopping there. "And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desires for you, and you must rule over it." Cain spoke to his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, Abel, and he killed him. So sin comes into the picture. And I'm going to specifically focus on the first verse, and we're going to go through the rest a little bit. But when I speak about emotions, I've thought of something that's going to help us as we move forward to get to know our emotions better and to understand what the Lord wants us to do. So I'm going to say three things. The question is, what do you do with your emotions? The answer that you give me, if you are willing to participate this morning, is you feel it, you find it, and you fight it. It's simple as that. I'm trying to help you remember it. You feel it, you find it, you fight it. So I'm going to ask the question, what do we do without your emotions? You feel it, you find it, you fight it. And I want to show you that out of the Bible. I mean, it's a little quip that I thought of, but it's actually in the Bible, I do believe. And the first thing when we speak about feeling our emotions is we do need to realize that emotions are not from God. They are not something that we hide away, that we push aside, and that we say has no place. And the reason I say that is because the Bible says that God himself is the creator of emotions, and he is the one that experienced emotions when Jesus was walking on the earth. The Bible teaches us that God experiences joy. God experiences compassion. God experiences holy anger, even. He doesn't sin in his anger, but he experiences holy anger. He experiences grief, holy jealousy. He experiences delight, holy hatred, sorrow, agony, amazement. I can give you scriptures for all of these, but the Bible teaches us that we serve a God that experiences emotions. And in like manner, we need not be scared of it. We need to say that, Lord, if you created it in me, you probably put it there for a reason, and I need to feel it and not shove it away. The big problem is that most people fall into one or two categories. Lots of people either lean too much on emotions, and your life is dictated and ruled by emotions, and that's not the way God wanted it. And some others experience no emotion. And when an emotion comes up, you drive it out like a demon. Get away from me, emotion. I don't want you here. We fall in these two camps. And I want to speak to those two camps because that's not the way that God wants you to feel it according to the Bible. The first one, emotionalism is what I call it, is when your life is dictated by emotions. And your relationship with God probably is dictated by emotions. If you fall in this camp, you think that when I feel God, then God must be there. When I'm in worship and I get goosebumps, then God is happy with me. When I feel good, then probably God feels good about me, and I don't think that's the truth. Your relationship with God is not defined by your emotions primarily. The emotions should be there, but they should not dictate, they should not rule. And so they must be in their right place. I think of it this way. You did not become a Christian by feeling something. There might have been a feeling attached to it, but you didn't go like this. I wasn't a Christian. Then I was in worship and I felt the presence of the Lord, and then I became a Christian. That is not the definition of Christianity. Definition of Christianity is a changed life. I was one way. I came into the presence of the Lord. I got to know it, and now I live another way, whether I feel it or not. I was concerned with myself. I did live in my sin. I got to know the Lord. Now I no longer live in my sin actively. I live another way. That's nothing to do with emotions. That's a reality of God changing your life. So we shouldn't be emotionless. On the other hand, there are some of us that what I call, we are stoic. It's called stoicism. It's like, I want to be hard. I only want to know the facts. Teach me out of the Bible. Emotions have no place. And I think that's wrong as well. Your relationship with God and your life becomes only intellectual, and there's no place to actually feel. Both of those are wrong ways of looking at emotions. Let me jump into the scripture with you here. Genesis 4, verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen?" So we know that sin is about to take place. But God comes into the picture, and before sin, he doesn't make Cain aware of the fact. He doesn't come to Cain and he says, "Why are you going to murder your brother?" No, he says, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen?" He wants Cain to be aware of his emotions. It's a rhetorical question. God knew the answer to the question. He knew why Cain was angry. He knew why his face was fallen, but he wanted him to be aware of the fact that he was angry. His face had fallen. He did the same with Adam and Eve in the. He did the same with Adam and Eve in the garden. You remember? They hid away, and God said, "Where are you?" Do you think God didn't know where they were? No, he knew. He wanted them to realize that they were hiding away. He does it again. He wants them to be aware of what's happening here in this moment. And so God would come to us, and God actually wants us to not be overly aware of our emotions, not be underly aware of our emotions, but be properly aware when there are big emotions in our lives. God would come to you and say, "Hey, why do you feel that way?" But you need to feel it. You need to be open. You need not push it away. And the way I see it, the reason we need to feel our emotions is because emotions are actually an indicator that sin is on its way. It's an indicator that something is wrong, negative emotions. And so if we only think sin, we think, "I should not watch pornography." That's a good thing. But what God did here is God took it a step back and he said, don't only think, don't watch pornography. God also goes, "Man, do you recognize that there's an emotion in you, an overriding emotion? Before you go there, be aware of it. Feel it." Are you with me? Feel that emotion. Be aware of what's happening in your heart, because those things are like indicator lights saying, hey, be aware, there's an emotion here, something is coming. And if we don't look at those indicator lights, we get in trouble. I've got a quick picture for you. This car, it's a nice car, sort of. My kids dubbed it the donkey car, That's their name because they went to the Boeremark and they were in the donkey car and they said it feels the same. It's a 1982 Suzuki SJ14. Long story, but that's my car. And this is me next to the road because I ignored the indicator lights. I smelled something while driving. I'm like, something smells strange. I'm not going to give attention to it now. I'll carry on. There weren't, some of the lights were broken, but the ones that were broken kept going off. But I'm like, man, it's an old car. Obviously, it's going to go off. And I ignored it. And because I ignored it, I got in trouble. I did not look at the indicator lights. The same thing with your emotions. They are there for a reason. They are an indicator light to say something is wrong. Feel it. What do we do with our emotions? We feel it. God would come in and he says, are you aware of it? The second thing is that we do with our emotions is we feel it, we find it, and we fight it. Let me just ask you that again so that we stay on this journey together. What do we do with our emotions? We feel it, we find it, and we fight it. So it's not enough to know about the indicator lights. You need to go and dig a bit deeper to ask, why is the light going off? Why am I angry? Why am I anxious? Why am I lonely? Why am I, whatever emotion you may experience, it's one thing to realize it's there and to be aware of it so that you can stop sin from taking place, but it's a really good question to ask, why is it actually there? I'm going to go back to that question, Genesis 4 verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your face downcast? Well, firstly, God just wanted him to be aware of the emotions, but secondly, I do think that God wanted him to do some introspection. God wanted him to stand still and actually also ask him the question. It's rhetoric and it's not. Hey, Cain, why are you angry? Why is it? Why is the emotion there? Find what's beneath the emotion, because if you deal with what's beneath it, you will cancel out sin anyway. It's a different way of dealing with sin. We just deal with it in the outside, just deal with it in the flesh. But God is actually taking it a bit deeper and he's saying, stop, think, why are you angry? And I can't answer it. The Bible doesn't completely say to us why Cain was angry. I had to guess, I'd probably say jealousy. We felt overlooked by God. He felt inferior, maybe. He felt unfairly treated. There was something beneath it. There was a lie underneath it. And the lie for him was probably around those lines that I just said. God doesn't care about me. I'm not as good as other people. There was something there, and God wanted him to stop and dig beneath the surface. I want to show you this out of another place in Scripture to say that we all only deal with sin, but sin is the fruit, but there's also a root to the fruit. Let me show you James 1 verse 14 to 15. This is the progression of sin that is laid out by James here. But each person, again, each person, even those who didn't put up their hands, this is for you as well. The Bible says that you are included here. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Desire is on the heart level. It's not on the hands level. It's something deeper. And then this desire moves over to verse 15. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We cannot only focus on verse 15, we need to focus on verse 14 and not only ask what is the sin, but what is the emotion signaling and what's beneath that emotion? What is the desire? What's underneath it? We need to dig and we need to really find what the problem is. I'm going to go back to my car illustration here because I'm hoping it helps you understand. So I was driving with that car. My family had been visiting. It was a busy day. You can put it back up just so people can marvel at the beauty of it. It was blue, now it's white, as you can see under the hood. But so I'm driving with my car, and I realize that something is wrong. And as I'm driving, it just at some stage, it just goes, bah! And I feel water squirting onto my feet, because it's a holy car. It had holes in the bottom. It had, like, rust holes. So I feel water squirting onto my feet. I'm like, something is obviously wrong. I stop. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. I call Helmut. Helmut, you're going to have to come and tow me here. And I open up the hood like I know what I'm doing. I don't, by the way. I'm like, you know, I'm standing there. So they're like, I've got no clue. I don't know what's happening in there. I'm trying to learn. But anyway, I look there and I see, oh, shucks, one of the pipes burst. There's water coming out. Pipe, water pipe burst. I know what the problem is. That was not the problem. It looked like the problem. Again, you can see the emotions. You can look at the first thing that surfaces and say, oh, I know what the problem is. The problem is I'm an angry person or I'm an anxious person. The emotion signaling. No, what you do is you find it. You dig deeper. What's the real problem? Because if I only fixed the water pipe, that would have been half the problem. But the problem would have persisted because the actual problem was, I think my radiator, I think that's what you call it. Anyway, the thing in front where the fan blows onto it, radiator, is that a radiator? Can you see that I'm clued up with cars? The problem was the radiator. It was old. It didn't know how to. It couldn't pump water through. Anyway, long story. That was the real problem. So again, when our emotions signal, we have to stop and dig and ask, what is beneath the emotion actually? What is the real problem? And mostly, it's a lie at the bottom that you believe about yourself or you believe about God. It's normally a lie. Listen, if you feel anxious a lot, and maybe anxiety leads you to pornography, or it leads you to sleeping around, or it leads you to smoking, or it leads you to drinking, you can focus on all of those sins, or you can stop and say, well, there's an emotion that I feel a lot. But then you need to ask yourself, what is beneath that emotion? Anxiety. Why do I feel anxious? Well, I don't know the answer. You're going to have to go sit with God. You're going to have to journal. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to speak to people. You're going to have to ask God to reveal what is beneath it. But it might be that you feel anxious because you think like, God is going to drop me. God's not interested. God doesn't care for me. It might be that. It might be that you feel angry because beneath the anger, you feel like other people are better than me or other people don't know how good I am. There's a lie there that you keep telling yourself and that causes the emotion. And God wants to, you know, God is not only concerned with the fruit of your life. He's concerned with your heart. Do you know that? How does he make us new? Does he just change us on the outside? No. He changes us on the inside, on the heart level. Only he can do it. People can change you on the outside. God is the only one that can change the inside. He's concerned about what's happening beneath the water, beneath the surface. What are those lies? What is the brokenness? What are those things that, or the idols? What are the things that you believe that you shouldn't believe that's beneath the surface? God wants to also address you on that level. No one else can do it. God can do it. Are you with me still? We feel it. We find it, but then what we also do is we also fight it. Because the problem with emotions are a very good servant, but they are a terrible master. Very good servant. If you learn to recognize your emotions, that's a really good thing. It's going to help you stay away from sin because it's the indicator light. And it's going to help you dig with the Lord to say, Lord, what's happening here? Something isn't right in my heart. It's a very good servant. But the moment that you become aware of your emotions and you let your emotions do whatever it pleases, oh man, it's a terrible master. It's going to lead you away from God. It's going to lead you towards sin always. And so not only do we feel it, not only do we find it, but thirdly, we also fight our emotions and we bring them into line and we say, you are not my boss. I am your boss. I own you. You don't own me. I rule you. You don't rule me because emotions would always want to rule. I think of it this way. Imagine a train where the engine is sitting on the front and it's pulling all of these things behind it. That's the way that a train is supposed to work. But if you do a train the other way and you put the engine at the back and you put all the carriages in front, it's going to push it off the track and those things will fall. In the same way, if you are mastered by your emotions, what you do is you think that you are in control. You are like the engine. And all of these emotions, actually, they are trying to lead you. Man, you're going to get into an accident. The way that it's destined to be, supposed to be, is you are supposed to be in control of your emotions. You carry them like carriages behind you, and you say to them what they can and can't do. Are you with me? You are supposed to be in control. And the Bible teaches us this so many times. But let's look at where it says in Genesis. So God makes him aware of his emotions. And then in verse 7, it's really telling because he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just ask him to dig, but he asks him to now do something with his emotions. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted, Cain? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Man, sin wants to have you. Its desire is really for you. But here's the key. You must rule over it. Sin is not your master. Jesus is your master. He is the Lord of your life. And when you submit yourself to him, the Bible teaches us that you must now learn how to rule over sin. And I think a large part of that, if we look at the previous verse, is also learning how to rule over your own heart, to rule over your own emotions. So be aware of it, but rule over it. Let me give you four scriptures to show you this out of the Bible. It's all over the Bible. Isaiah 41, verse 10, the first part. It's God speaking. He says, fear not. So there's the emotion. The emotion is fear. Man, I'm feeling fear. But what does God say? He doesn't just allow you to experience it. He says, fear not, for I am with you. So he's actually giving you, when fear is there, he's giving you a solution to the fear. The solution is speak to yourself. The lie that causes the emotion is God is not with me. But he's saying, no, what you tell yourself is God is with me. That's fighting your emotions. Man, I feel fearful. I fear for the future. I fear for my marriage one day. I fear for my children. I fear for my job. I'm fearful. The emotion is there. Don't allow it to lead you. You lead it and you say, God is with me. That's leading your emotions. That's not letting your emotions lead you. You fight it. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Did you know that those two could be together? I get angry when someone drives on my butt in my car. I hate it. Any men like me? Women as well? Anyone? I don't like it. I come from Joburg, and I've been out of Joburg now for 20 years, but Joburg is not out of me. It's not out of me. Like, I hate it. And Carla gets so angry with me because I just tap the brake. I'm like, get so angry. Anyway, but there's a world in which anger could exist, but it does not lead to sin. God gets angry, but he does not sin. And so, again, the solution. There's a solution in the Bible. If you go look for emotions in the Bible, it's going to offer you solutions as well. So when you let anger lead you, you're just going to let it go to sin. Man, I'm going to stop. I'm going to shout at the guy in the car next to me. I'm going to throw him a zap. I'm going to do whatever it may be. I'm going to be angry and let anger lead me to sin. But the Bible says, do not let it lead you to sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. So when you feel anger, God says, put a time limit on it and deal with that anger. When my wife and I fight every 3 years, we have about a 10-minute fight. That's it. Nothing more. The rule we've tried to put in place is let the sun not go down on our anger. No, I fight this emotion in me. Because the problem is the next morning you wake up and you didn't deal with it, that anger gets seated more deeply in your heart. You're fine, you go on with your life, but next time that fight comes quicker. It takes 2 years and not three. Do not let it go down. Philippians 4 verse 6 speaks about anxiety, because that's something we are going to experience. I struggle with anxiety a lot. It's something that I deal with. My breathing changes. My wife hates it. You might have seen it. I get anxious a lot. It's something that I really deal with, just to be open and honest with you. And it's something that I need to apply this message to. But the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't let anxiety just carry on. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's saying the answer, the solution to your anxiety is to pray. And whatever you're feeling anxious about, bring it before the Lord. Fight your anxiety. Don't let it get the better of you. Be aware of it, but don't let it master you. Last one. Psalm 42, verse 5. This is so beautiful. David writing here. This is probably the best example for me. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Let's just stop here. David felt downcast. David, a man after God's own heart, he experienced emotions. He felt downcast. I think he felt depressed at times. It's part of the human condition. We feel these things. But David, I think the reason he's a man after God's own heart is not because he feels emotion or he fell in sin, is because he dealt with it. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. When you feel downcast, when you feel depressed, when last have you spoken to yourself? When last have you said, stop it, heart? Don't feel like that. It is not the truth. When last have you pulled out scriptures, put it on your wall, put it on your mirror, and when the emotion rises and it wants to take over and lead you to sin, you go to the truth of the Word of God and you said, this is not the truth. Stop feeling this way, oh my soul. You know, I don't know if I wrote down this quote. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I don't think you put it up there. This is exactly what I'm trying to say. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life, you don't have it, is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of speaking to yourself? Profound, eh? We listen to ourselves too much. We listen to our emotions too much. We don't speak to ourselves enough. You know who the best person to preach the gospel to is? You. You need to be reminded of Jesus. Perfect creator, the one who died on the cross, the one who had you in mind while you were still at your worst. He died so that you may know him. You need to tell yourself that on a daily basis. Remind yourself of the good news of Jesus. Otherwise, your emotions get the better of you. We feel it, we find it, and we fight it. So what do we do with this? Well, today's not going to be the answer for you. It's not going to help today we just pray and say, oh Lord, please help us be aware of our emotions. Please help us deal with our sin. No, you need to learn how to stand on the Word of God. You need to come before the Lord in this week, not even today. We can start today, but you need to pray the prayer that David prayed. And he said, search me, O Lord, and know me. See if there's any wicked way within me. When the emotions rise or when sin comes, you need to stop and say, when I sinned, what did I feel? And when I recognize what I felt, I need to say, Lord, help me dig deeper. See if there's any wicked way within me. Lord, I bring my heart before you. Show me. This is going to take work. You know, leading your emotions it's more difficult than leading your wife, because leading your wife's easy. So this can actually be, it is really actually. Anyway. Got myself into a hole there. It is really, no, my wife is wonderful. She really does. We work together as a team really well. But this is an ongoing thing. You need to take this and you need to go live this out. That is the first thing. And I want to say to you, if you are a Christian here, if you've been made new, the Lord wants you to break free. He wants you to break free from sin, but he wants you to dig deeper and allow the Lord into your private place, into there where it's only you and the Lord, into your heart, and say, Lord, help me with my heart. That's what you have got to do when you go into this week and go on. But you know what? Then there's a second group of people here, and this is the group where I think it's the group of people that maybe don't know the Lord yet. You haven't given your life to Jesus, and maybe you are overwhelmed with emotion, you're overwhelmed with sin. Let me tell you, today's message is not going to help you conquer sin. Because your heart has not been made new. This message only applies if you've given your life to Jesus. If your heart has been made new. If God is the ruler of your heart. It's like he's replaced the engine of your heart. But if you haven't given your life to Jesus, today's message is going to give me nothing to you. Because in actual fact, what God needs to do is he first needs to make you a new creation. One prone to righteousness and not prone to sin. He needs to replace your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. And there's so many prophetic words that came through this morning that God wants to say. There are people here today where you need to put this message aside and say, well, my first step would be to make right with Jesus, to ask him to give me a new heart. Otherwise, this is impossible. And I'm not going to read this to you, but The message of Cain and Abel has the message of Jesus hidden within it. Hebrews 12 verse 24, it brings a comparison between Jesus and what happened in his life and what happened between Cain and Abel. The one negative, but it replaces it with the positive of Jesus. I want to show you this and then we're going to end. In the story of Cain and Abel, we read that Cain was mastered by sin. But Jesus was the one to master temptation. The Bible says that Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Where Cain failed, Jesus did not fail. He was never mastered by sin. He was in the desert for 40 days, but he was never overcome by the schemes of the enemy. That's our perfect Jesus that we follow. And that's the one that wants to save you this morning. The Bible says that Cain is the one that killed his righteous brother, but on the other hand, Jesus was killed by his brothers. He was the righteous one, and he was murdered, but he was innocent. When Jesus came to earth, he not only lived here, but he died so that you could get to know him. He offered up his perfect life, and he was willing to be betrayed by his own, by the Jews that were around him, so that you could get to know him. He was the perfect sacrifice for you. The Bible also teaches us that when Abel died, that his blood cried out for righteousness. The next verses we read, that's what happened. It's like righteousness must come from this. This was wrong that was done to him. But when Jesus died on the cross, he did not call for a reckoning. His blood cries out for mercy. When he died on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus, his blood on the cross is crying out, "Lord, he's saying to the Father, bring one more into the fold. Show mercy. I will show mercy." He did it for you to show his mercy to you. When Cain ends his story, when he finishes and he lands up and he commits the sin, he ends up outside of Eden. He's not allowed into the paradise of God. But when Jesus died, he opened up a way for us to come into the paradise of God, to come into heaven. If you will commit to Jesus this morning, if you will give your life to him, you can receive everlasting life, and it starts today. Your life will be changed today. It's a promise of God. And so if you're a Christian, that's one thing. You need to apply this message. But if you are someone that maybe calls yourself a Christian, but you've fallen away from God, you've backslidden, or you don't know him, the first step that you make is you see the gospel in the story. You see the good news of Jesus in the story, and you say, "I want to be made right this morning. I want this old engine taken out. I want a new engine in here, one that wants to live for you, one that has been redeemed by you. I want this old heart of stone taken out. I want a heart of flesh." The Bible says this. I'm going to end with this verse. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. This is what Jesus does. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Your emotions change. Your life changes. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So can I ask us to close our eyes?